And we're back again to another episode of the brand new podcast, The Call to Vet, a podcast for undergraduate personal college students. I am Oge, your host and girlfriend for all things summarized, lecture, notes, and I would say I've missed you guys a lot. It's been too long since I dropped this lesson. My sincere apologies. The reason for that was that in the last 2 months we've been doing writing our first professionals, and you know all the drama about first professionals. You don't want to do anything to make you feel. So I just have to pause a quick break. Hope you guys accept my apologies. Anyways, to cut the long story short, I actually passed my first professionals. Hey! And I'm so excited today to record, like to just get back and start recording. So guys, we are actually in our clinicals, okay, in school. We are taking courses on courses like parasitology, microbiology, pathology, mycology, and oncologies. And I would say, just like what is going to prepare us, okay, to become a better vet. So this is one of the reasons why I changed the name from Simply Vet to Cocktail Vet, because we are a cocktail of so many knowledge. Ooh la la. Anyways guys, we'll be having our test of first continuous assessment soon, and so my friends requested I make an audio summary for parasitology. So that's what I'm going to be looking into. I'm just going to give a brief summary of what we've learned so far. So guys, I hope you really enjoy listening to this episode today. And don't forget guys, I'll send a link where you can send in your voice note to how you are enjoying this podcast. Don't worry, let's just get going, okay? So sit tight and enjoy. Thank you for listening. Okay, so from what we've learned so far, parasitology is just all about studying the different life cycle of parasites. Okay, and we've actually looked at several parasites from different families. Okay, so we're not going to dwell into terminologies or other millennials. We'll just dive straight into the life, into the parasites, their life cycle, and that's how I'm just going to flow. Okay. Okay, so you just have to take note of this flow now. Under the taxonomy of helminths, because it's hematology now we're dealing with, okay? So under the taxonomy of helminths, we have the platy helminths and the nematode helminths, pardon my pronunciation. And under this platy helminths, we have the class trematoda and the class cystoda. So over the past 2 weeks or so, we've been dealing with the class trematoda, and we are done with it. So now under the class trematoda, we have the subclass monogenia, subclass aspidogastra, and subclass digenia. Okay, and the one that's of interest to us is the subclass digenia, and that is where we have the five important families of parasites we dealt with. Okay, so under these five families, the first one we have is the family Fasciolidae, the second one is family Dicrocylidae, the third one is family Paramphistomidae, the fourth one is family Schistosomatidae, and the final family we have is the family Troglotrematidae. Sorry guys, don't mind my pronunciation, just bear with me. So we're just going to get started with the family Fasciolidae. We're going to look into the life cycle of the parasite under this family, and we're just going to look at everything related to it. So hang on tight, don't go anywhere. Okay guys, you're actually under the family Fasciolidae, but before we dive into it deeply, let's just look at the general morphology of class Trematoda as a whole. Okay, so there are some morphologies you just have in mind, okay, when it comes to these trematodes, okay, these flukes. Now, okay, one is that these flukes, they are hermaphrodites, okay, except family Schistosomatidae, okay, just be noting it, okay, and they have an indirect life cycle in the sense that they require an intermediate host to pass their infected metasecaria to the life host. Don't worry, you understand what I'm saying soon. Okay, so the first one I said is that they are hermaphrodites except Schistosoma, that is the family Schistosomatidae, and the second one is that they have indirect life cycle, and they also undergo a phenomenon called pedogenesis or polyembryony, and this phenomenon is just all about the multiplication of the larva to form the adult, you understand, okay? And the eggs, when they are laid, they are opaculate in shape and they are in a single cell storage, okay? And they also have suckers, two suckers, one on the anterior end and one at the ventral end, and they are used to attach to the to their host, okay? They lack anus. Instead, what they have is that they use excretory pores that is located on various parts of the body, okay, called phloem cells, to excrete their waste substances. So with just this little preamble, I think you should be able to, okay, let's say something again. And infection, like their mode of infection generally is through encysted metasecaria, except for Schistosoma, whose infective stage is by Sicaria. Don't worry, you understand all this. So just hold this preamble very tight and let's just get back to family Fasciolidae. Okay, so under family Fasciolidae, there are two genuses in it. Genus, okay? We have Fasciola hepatica and Fasciola gigantica. But the one of importance, okay, the one of veterinary importance is the Fasciola gigantica. All because this Fasciola gigantica is the most common adult parasite of ruminants. You understand? So that is of importance. And we are going to look at its intermediate host, definitive host, that is the whole, the intermediate host is the host it first use to grow. Then the definitive or final host is down the host where the infection then brings down the animal or the main host, you understand. We're also going to look at the predilection site, that is where they are found in the host. Okay, so Fasciola gigantica, as we said, okay, it uses water snail as its intermediate host, and they are also called liver flukes because they are found in the liver. And the predilection site for the adult flukes, okay, the adult flukes, they are found in the bile duct, while the immature flukes are found in the liver. Because remember, when the encysted metasecaria gets into the definitive host, in this case, the cattle, now it's moved directly straight to the small intestine and moves into the gut wall. Then it goes into the peritoneal cavity, then into the liver capsule, then into the liver parenchyma. That's how it moves into the liver. So it's called liver flukes. Okay, good. Now, the mode of transmission of Fasciola is by accidental injection of encysted metasecaria on herbage. Okay, like when these are livestock, like cattle, ruminants in general, when they are grazing on herbage, okay, these metasecaria, they insist on those herbages, so our ruminants then eat it. Once they eat that encysted metasecaria, they get infected, or they get the infection caused by Fasciola. Okay, so I hope you understood this quite well. So we looked at the general, that is the two genera it has, hepatica and gigantica. We said gigantica is the most common adult parasite of ruminants. We also said they are called liver flukes, all because Fasciola are associated, all because of the immature flukes that are found in the liver. Okay,
we also made mention of the infective stage, which is the encysted metasecara. So these are just the important things to just take note of. If you want to know more, just go on for further study. Now let's quickly look into the next family, which is family. Dicrocelidae. Okay, this family is also special, okay, in the sense that it uses two intermediate hosts, unlike the other families that require just one. This one is, it uses two intermediate hosts, which are land snail and brown ant, and each of these intermediate hosts actually differ again in their own species. We'll look at it. So it also has two genus, genera. Okay, I made a mistake the other time. It's genera, not genuses. Sorry. Now we have Dicrocelium hospis and Dicrocelium dendriticum. Okay, now the predilection site for Dicrocelium hospis is the gallbladder, while the predilection site for Dicrocelium dendriticum is the biduct. The final host, that is the definitive host that gets infested, include sheep, cattle, pigs, rabbits. Okay, and when you see the eggs in the feces, when they are excreted, they are translucent in appearance. They look very tiny, and the eggs, they are brown shelled. So those are some of the clinical signs you could see when observing an animal infected by this species. Okay, and you know, I made mention earlier that the intermediate hosts are land snail and brown ant, and they actually have their own specific species. So for exam sake, let me just mention it now. Now the land snail for Dicrocelium hospis is called Limicolaria, Limicolaria, while the brown ants for Dicrocelium hospis as well is, there are three. The first one is Sematogaster, second one is Dorylus, that is Dorylus, the third one is Campanotus, spelled as pronounced. Okay, whereas the brown ants for Dicrocelium dendriticum, which is the second genera, is Formica species. Okay, so guys, let's talk about the mode of infection. Now, the mode of infection for Dicrocelium is actually by injection of brown ant that contains the metasecaria. Okay, like that is when the host now is the cattle, sheep, pig, rabbit, like when they ingest a brown ant that has actually eaten an encysted metasecaria. You understand? Now, you know, we said mode of infection is encysted metasecaria for all the families except for Schistosoma. So now in Dicrocelium, the animal, that is the host, the final host, gets this infection when it ingests a brown ant that has already eaten metasecaria. Let me put it that way to make everything look so simple. Okay, so that is just about it. And if you kind of study more further, you notice that in the first place, okay, let me just make this clear now. In the feces of an animal, okay, you find the eggs, okay, of all trematodes, they hatch into Miracidium. And Miracidium, they are very short-lived. They have a short lifetime, you understand? So that is why they quickly look for an intermediate host, like the water snail or land snail, you understand? Good. Now, for Dicrocelium, they look for land snail. Reasons, I don't know. It just said, okay, so once they find the land snail, they enter it through penetration. They penetrate and start developing from that Miracidium. They will develop into sporocysts. From sporocysts, they will develop into radia. From radia, they will develop into cecaria. Okay, now, and this cecaria, they form a kind of slime ball in the first intermediate host, which is this land snail, after which it is what ingested, like it comes out from the snail and lands on herbage, that is grazing place for host cattle, you understand, good. Now this host then comes, the second intermediate host then comes and eats that sicaria, that is that slimed ball. So as they eat it, the final host then come and consume herbage together with the brown ant and the slime ball metasicaria. Hope you are following the trend. So that's just how the life cycle of Dicrocilium is. So if it's confusing you, my apologies. Look for a good textbook to just give you a good understanding. I'm just trying to summarize. Okay. So guys, the third family we're going to be looking into is family Paramphistomidae, okay? And they're also flukes. All trematodes are flukes. Just have that in mind, okay? And I said earlier that Phaseolidae are liver flukes. Those are another word you can call Phaseolidae, liver flukes. Anyways, we're in family Paramphistomidae, and we're going to look at the infective stage, okay? We're going to identify the genus, and we're going to identify the predilection site as well. So let's just get going. Now, the predilection sites, where they are found in the body of the host, okay, in the body of an adult host, is that the adult flukes, okay, they are found in the rumen and reticulum. And if you can picture those, your towel, that is your, those your meat you buy in the market, okay, the towel, okay, the rumen, you'll find all those pinkish attachments. Those are your Paramphistomidae attaching there. Like their morphology, they have a very beautiful morphology, very pinkish in appearance, maggots like, and they're also called conical fluke. Yes, when you see them, they look conical, pinkish, maggots like, and circular in form, you understand, okay. And the predilection site for the immature one, that is for the immature Paramphistomidae, is that they are found in the duodenum. So take note of all this. Now, they have three genera. We have the Paramphistomum, Gastrodicus, and Cotyledophoron. Don't worry, check the episode description. I will write down the correct spelling of all of this. Okay, and don't forget the infective stage is also by encysted metasicaria. Okay, and the most important genera we're looking into is that Paramphistomum. And that Paramphistomum is of two species, that is Paramphistomum savi and Paramphistomum microbatrum. Sorry guys for all this weird pronunciation. Okay, now the intermediate host, you know, we made mention earlier that the intermediate host for all trematodes are water snail, except for family Dicrocilium. Now, the intermediate host now for Paramphistomidae is water snail, okay, but it also has its own species. Like in the water snail, it has the species is Planobis species and Bolinus species. So guys, that is just all about family Paramphistomidae. Okay, the fourth family we're going to be looking into is family Schistosomatidae, and as my lecturer called this, he called this the stupid parasites, all because this one is unique among the entire five members, okay, of trematodes, you understand, and they are called blood fluke because their predilection site, that is where they are found, is in the mesenteric vein of the host. And as I made mention earlier, they are not hermaphrodite, they don't have the same sex organs in a single body, instead they separated. And the unique thing about it is that the male carries the female anywhere it goes in a groove called gynecophoral canal. Okay, let me spell it G YNAECOPHORAL, the Nicophoral canal or groove. Anyways, the eggs of this family, Schistosoma, is very unique in the sense that it has spines. Okay, spines, and through these spines, it lyses the blood cells of its host, causing anemia and the rest of it. I don't want to go deep into it. And this parasite is actually zoonotic. That's why it's very important. And it's very, very zoonotic. They affect humans as well. Okay. It has so many species. We have Schistosoma bovis, Schistosoma mansoni, and the rest. I don't want to go deep into it. Don't forget the predilection site is the mesenteric vein. And two unique things about the life cycle is that Schistosoma, the infective stage is Sercaria, so they don't have Metasercaria, and they don't have Radia as well. Remember the five larva stages. Good. Okay, the final family under the trematodes are called Troglotrematidae, and they are also called long flukes, L-U-N-G, long flukes, because they are found, that is the predilection site is in the pulmonary pocket of the lungs, and they are of zoonotic concern in humans as well. Okay, and their mode of infection, how the host, the definitive host, gets infected is that when it ingests encysted Metasercaria. So that's all about it. It don't really have so much in it. Okay, the genus is called Paragonimus, and the species is Utrobilateralis. Anyways, that's all about class Trematodes in a very brief summarized form. And if you really need in-depth knowledge, just get your good textbook. Okay guys, we've actually come to the end of today's episode all about class Trematodes.